And a very good afternoon to you. It's 12:07. You're tuned to Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. And because it's Tuesday, that means Susan Burns is here. Good afternoon, Susan.
I am here, and it's a summer Tuesday, so sometimes summer means traveling. And today, Sean, I'm going to take you with me over to the city to the east of Fort Wayne, known as New Haven.
And that's right. Today we're talking the business of New Haven on this Financial Focus edition of the program. And we want to hear from you. We'll introduce our in-studio guests in just a moment. But if you have a question or comment, give us a call. The number, 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. And Susan, we always have that toll-free number available as well.
We do. It's 1-800-471-9264. So if you're even farther to the east of Fort Wayne and you want to give us a call today, we're actually, Sean, we're starting what we hope is becomes kind of a new feature called Meet the Neighbors. and we're going to reach out to communities because, you know, we talk all the time about how the station serves Northeast Indiana. And it seems only fair that we should kind of focus in on some of the other parts of Northeast Indiana.
That's right. And let's not keep our listeners waiting any longer. Joining us in the studio this afternoon, we have New Haven Mayor Terry McDonald. Mayor McDonald, thank you very much for being with us
today. Thank you, Sean.
We also have Vince Buchanan from the New Haven Chamber of Commerce. Thanks very much for being with us, Vince.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Now, we were talking a little bit before the program got going here about where New Haven came from. You know, it's really a city founded on transportation. Mayor McDonald, could you share a little bit of that history with us?
Well, sure. One of the first founders that we know, as early as 1820, John Van Gundy came to New Haven, bought about 120 acres right along the Maumee River. Transportation was pretty important to him and to earlier settlers because you had to be able to get your goods and services, lumber and all kinds of things to your area. But he founded on the river, his homestead, a quarter of a mile away from a Native American and animal fording place or area on the Maumee River. He was shortly followed 3 years later by Jesse Adams. Not the namesake of Adams Township. Actually, it was after John Quincy Adams, the president. But he arrived and he bought land a few years later through the land office for $1.25 an acre.
Wow.
Wouldn't we just love to be able to do that today? $1.25 an acre, and he then helped to establish the first settlement known as New Haven. So it was basically the community was founded by people who were leaving the bigger area of Fort Wayne. You know, I can't imagine it's not that big now, but why they would have left. But for space, to have room to grow, to raise their families, to farm. Farming has always been a pretty important part of our community, and transportation. Not only the rivers, but of course roads, the Wabash Canal came right through New Haven. Later on, the railroad came through. Of course, that closed the canal. But then the first transcontinental highway, the Lincoln Highway, really helped to establish our community and automobile traffic and truck traffic. It's been huge.
We've talked a lot on this program how this region at large is refashioning itself as very much a transportation distribution hub. Really, New Haven was there already.
We really were. I mean, you know, the railroad has had a huge impact on our community, and we always hear the complaints about the railroad, about the crossings being blocked and things like that, and the horn whistles. But, you know, that transportation, the railroad and the trucking industry today really drive the economic engine of our country. And you have to be able to get goods to market even today. Even as good as our infrastructure is on interstate highways, we still need the railroads.
So Vince Buchanan, I want to turn to you. When you look at the current economic makeup of New Haven, what do you see now? It's not, the canal is no longer there, but in its place, a lot of major industry, agriculture. What do you see in New Haven today?
Well, I think you covered it. We have from big, such as Do It, the world headquarters for Do It Best Corporation, to small one-person shops and everything in between. Transportation still plays a critical role in a lot of the economic activity that takes place. We have a couple of road projects that are coming close to completion yet this year with the Maple Crest extension and the Fort to Port project, which will it is enhancing the transportation opportunities and the safety as well and for that corridor.
And before we go too much farther, can you tell us a little bit about Fort to Port?
Well, I know that it's going. But, well, let's see. It's going to have four lanes, mm-hmm. the best of my knowledge.
Four lanes,
and
yes.
It's going to connect the sunny side of the county, New Haven, and our neighbors to the west, Fort Wayne, and have basically a direct route to the port of
Toledo.
And the amount of commerce that moves on that corridor in the past and it's going to be, I don't know whether it'll be exponential growth, but there's going to be substantial growth in the amount of traffic that that moves along that highway. And it's going to continue to provide, over the next many years, opportunities for us to attract or grow business on the east side of Allen County.
I think it will be huge for industrial development or potential for industrial development, logistical entities as well too, warehousing, anywhere along the highway. Actually, Woodburn is the very first community. I know we're from New Haven, but our friends in Woodburn are the very first community within the Indiana border, just from coming in from Ohio. I know they're really looking forward to it. And the space between New Haven and Woodburn has such tremendous potential. And it's going to be big. We're already working in an industrial corridor to make extra connections to the Fort to Port, the Highway 24 improvement along the Ryan Road. We've had a new development there just recently, just opened, the SDA La Farga operation. That was a $39 million investment in eastern Allen County, just outside of New Haven, 35 new jobs. I think everybody's familiar with the SDI story. And the success that Keith Bussey and that corporation have had in hiring northeastern Indiana people. And mm-hmm. so I see even more potential for development as well, too.
We're talking about the business of New Haven today on Midday Matters Financial Focus, and we do want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. You can always call us toll-free, of course, at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. We're at Midday Matters.
Yeah, and I hadn't really... I'm glad you mentioned Woodburn, and I'm going to start thinking of it as the sunny side of the county.
Very good.
It's not copyrighted yet, but you're more than welcome to use that.
And because it's such a big county, and so much of it is east of Muller Road, I guess.
Yeah, we're the largest geographic county in the entire state of Indiana.
I will confess this, Sean, but I've given people directions by saying, well, to get to Woodburn, you drive until you're pretty sure you're in Ohio.
That's true.
So four lanes will kind of collapse that a little bit.
It really will. I think that the biggest benefit that I see, I'm a former medic and police officer in our community, and one of the biggest benefits I see to the Fort to Port, the four lane, the traffic, the safety improvements, is really the reduction in horrific accidents. I've personally worked several very, very bad accidents on that road between Indiana or the Indiana-Ohio line and New Haven over the years. And I think when Senator Bud Meeks aptly named it, I think he named it the Highway of Death, because there's so much tragedy on that road, it's going to be huge. It's going to make it safer to get between Ohio and Indiana faster. It's for the most part is a controlled access road, which will be fantastic. So not very much cross traffic mm-hmm. to come yeah. through. That's going to be huge.
And as I thinking about driving out that way, There's that extra large ditch off to the side that I'm thinking is the old canal bit.
Actually, it is on the old part of 24, or the current part of 24 now. That is the route of the canal.
As you're out there more often, is the road filling that in, or are we still going to be able to point out to
people? Well, some parts will be filled in, but most of it you can see. You can actually see. I can show you a place in New Haven where you can see the actual bed of the canal. It's on a private property. We have to get permission, but you go in their backyard and it's just beautiful that you can actually see it. A large part of the canal in New Haven was filled in the late 1800s. The water was dammed up. Obviously, it didn't flow anymore. It got stagnant and those kinds of things. But that whole transportation history will continue on for decades and decades and decades to be very important. Highways like Fort to Port, even though it was very controversial about how much money was being spent, the toll road lease and
that
stuff.
That was a part of the governor's major moves program.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those kinds of things are so critical. The whole Heartland Corridor, that's Highway 24, from one end of the state in the east to the west, has been a tremendous asset. Remember trying to get to Purdue University for a ball game? It used to be horrible to try to do that.
Well, not so much for an IU fan, but
well, I will admit I've only been to Purdue once for a football game, but to go on business was a dreadful drive. How much easier it's all going to be now for commerce, and that's big. Regionally, we are working on what I believe is a missing link, if you will, for that whole area. That is the segment of from 469 to get over to 24 without taking 69. That Lafayette Center piece, I believe that's going to be the next big thing. I know regionally we're advocating for that, especially from Allen County's perspective. We're going to be lobbying the State House for assistance on that project.
We're talking today with Mayor Terry McDonald and Vince Buchanan from the New Haven Chamber of Commerce. And it is the business of New Haven on this Financial Focus edition of Midday Matters. We do need to take a break, but we want to hear from you. Give us a call, the local number 260-452-1185. You can always call 1-800-471-9264 if you'd like to get a hold of us toll-free. Oh, you can always post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Isaac takes aim at the Gulf Coast and New Orleans, braces for another storm almost 7 years to the day after Hurricane Katrina devastated large parts of the city. I'm Neil Conan. How people are preparing and what's changed on the Gulf Coast from 7 years ago. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Been in the kitchen too long? Then it's time to toss a salad of styles, forms, tastes, and timbres. I'm Bob Mayer. I create the salads every Tuesday from 7 to 9 here on 89.1 WBOI. Join in the Jazz Food Fest.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne in fall 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum at www.indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank, offering a wide range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and not-for-profit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. More information available at lakecitybank.com.
It's 12:22. This is Midday Matters Financial Focus here on 89.1 FM WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm your host, Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Susan Burns is here with me for this program.
I'm glad to be, Sean. And we have Mayor Terry McDonald and Vince Buchanan from New Haven today.
That's right. We're talking about the business of New Haven. And we do want to hear from you, perhaps, if you're from New Haven.
Right.
Or if you just have a question or comment for our panel. The number, it's 260-452-1185. You can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. Now, during the first part of the program, we got to talking about businesses, the current business landscape in New Haven. Vince, you mentioned Do It Best, but there are a number of other large employers in town as well. Could you tell us just a little bit more, kind of fill in that picture for us a little bit?
Well, over the past few years, Vera Bradley was kind enough to move over into our part of the world, and they have been a terrific addition to our economy and to the county's economy as well. Parker Hannafin has been a strong community partner for us over the years, and they've been active in our community events and supporting things throughout New Haven and the chamber world. We have a company called JCR Automation that is expanding here. They've acquired some property just to the east of town, and they are growing. We have Continental Diamond and Tool. That is, I believe it's about a 15,000 square foot addition.
Very, very large, and getting ready to move into the new expansion.
Yep.
Very soon.
So we have businesses big and small, and we also have the opportunity for a lot more to come our way, and we're in a position to assist them in any way possible to show them why doing business in New Haven is great.
I want to talk about the small business in just a moment, but Mayor McDonald, could you talk just a little bit more about the impact of employers like Do It Best, like Vera Bradley, on the community?
Well, when you have those larger manufacturers and distribution world headquarters, Do It Best is the world headquarters for their corporation in New Haven. It is huge because Do It Best has over 600 employees. They bring in prospective new clients, mm-hmm. new co-op members from around the world that come into our community. One of the larger reasons for the Maple Crest Road project was to be able to provide good access to that industrial area, mm-hmm. and to provide better access to Do It Best Corporation, along with the residential area of the River Haven Addition, and then access to 75,000 plus people in St. Joe Township to be able to come in. They can do multiple things. They can get to New Haven easier because that road. I talk a lot about transportation, but that road over the river and over the railroad tracks.
Not through the woods.
That's a good one. But provides a better opportunity to get into downtown Fort Wayne or to get into New Haven, and opens up the whole Adams Center, Maple Crest Road, 930 corridor for tremendous growth opportunity and commercial opportunities for that segment of the economy. When you have as many employees that you do at Do It Best Corporation, at Vera Bradley, at so many of other manufacturing facilities from the smallest to the largest, those employees shop, they buy gas, they buy food, they go out to lunch, and so there's tremendous amounts of opportunity there. So, some of my favorite places are the smaller places. People, and Sean, you haven't asked me the $64,000 question yet.
Well, we were getting to it, but go ahead.
Is Walmart still coming to New Haven? I hear that all the time. From what we know, they still own the property at Adams Center in 30. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there as well, too. It's kind of like when the first McDonald's comes to town. Everybody wants to be where the first McDonald's is. And no, I don't own any shares of McDonald's, nor is it named after me.
Any land around that Walmart property?
No.
Okay.
But we have some fantastic small businesses in our community. That's really the heart of New Haven, is small businesses, family-owned businesses. Just fantastic. And our old district, the old business district of New Haven, Broadway, Main Street area, we've done multi-million dollar improvements downtown to spruce up our downtown. We have businesses that do special things above and beyond what a business normally does. Mm-hmm. And just great opportunities even for more growth in downtown New Haven. People might look at it and say, well, everything's filled up. Well, there are opportunities to build or to establish a new business there. One of our most recent ones, I asked Susan on the break if she liked ice cream. I've got to brag about this place. And if my doctor's listening, I'm sorry. But the Carousel Ice Cream in on Broadway. If you've not been there, you have to go there. Some of the best ice cream around.
Got a favorite flavor?
All of them.
And how many flavors do they offer, Terry?
I don't know yet. I haven't tried them all, but it's fantastic. Made right there in the store. You just can't get any better than that. That's just one little tiny example. A man bought the building. He remodeled it. He did all the work himself. That's kind of the spirit of our community, if you will, that entrepreneurial spirit that sees something and says, I can do that, and then does it, and then makes a success out of it.
We're taking a financial focus today on New Haven, and we do want to hear questions and comments from you. If you'd like to get in touch, please do. The number 260-452-1185. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. And Vince Buchanan, you looked like you were getting ready to cut in there.
Oh, I was just going to mention another very new business in town, and it came about in a similar fashion to what Terry described with the carousel, and it's antiques and collectibles, and Rules Furniture had occupied that property for quite some time. They've purchased another building downtown and moved their entire operation there, had some space waiting to be leased, and they saw an opportunity to create a new business, and they have been extremely successful in the past few weeks and months. I guess it's actually been about 2 months now, in bringing people to downtown New Haven, and they're doing a great job, and they've got a tremendous selection of collectibles and antiques.
Well, so. I'm curious, because the economic climate really across the country is so competitive. If I'm an entrepreneur who wants to start a business in New Haven, how does New Haven stay competitive in such a competitive and tough climate?
Boy, I can throw a few things out. I think one of the things is we work on a day-to-day basis with regional partners because we recognize the importance and the necessity of working collectively, because if we bring businesses into our area or if we have enhanced services that are provided to our communities, we all benefit from that. So having that as one of the priorities on a day-to-day basis allows us to have the advantages that come along with that. And at the same time, our community is of such a size that we provide a lot of personal service and interaction to those
that are in
need of information and or assistance. And through the relationships that we've developed, we're relatively successful at getting to the answers or information that they're looking for. And we do it in a pretty timely fashion because we don't have a we do have a pro-business mentality in New Haven, and for those that take the time to engage us, we put every foot forward to try to get them where they want to be.
It sounds like what you're talking about is working to excel at customer service.
Well, not only that, but we do benefit from having Fort Wayne literally right next door.
Oh, absolutely.
We have close and easy access to all of the amenities of the region's attractions. They're 10 to 15 minutes away tops. We have a nice, comfortable community with with a variety of neighborhoods and residential areas. We've put a few things together, I think. When I say we, the mayor and the Parks Department, along with the citizens that voted to put in jury pool, and that project was completed last mm-hmm. year. And for those of you that haven't been out and had an opportunity to take advantage of it, and if this summer wasn't motivation enough, I don't know what's been keeping you away. But, you know, we have a facility there that is kid-friendly, that is extremely inexpensive, and in my opinion, is as nice as anything within a day's drive.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, wait till next summer now to go. But but you something that with that Vince didn't touch on that I think is really, really important is this relationship between the Chamber of Commerce, the mayor's office, my staff, and that includes everybody. I mean, Sean, you bring a business idea to us. You'll be meeting with me, be meeting with our planner, Economic Development Director Brian Yeo, who then when you bring your plans to us, you'll be meeting with the Director of Engineering, Keith Schlegel. The plans will be reviewed by our Fire Chief, John Bennett, and all within within a week's amount of time. And they'll walk you through the process and give you their best advice on how you should proceed. It's very, very quick. We try to excel at customer service, but we also try to make sure it is as user-friendly a process as we can possibly make it. We are very pro-business. I mean, I think our track record shows that we have been, and we will continue to be. If it really doesn't... A lot of opportunities for growth in all shapes and sizes of business, from the single person shop to a multi-person manufacturer, hundreds of people, warehousing, logistics, all those opportunities exist.
We're talking today about the business of New Haven. We do want to hear from you. Do give us a call, the number 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. Looks like we have a caller on the line. Good. Let's go to Susie. Susie, good afternoon here on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. It's good to hear your voices and people from New Haven. I myself am a New Haven graduate since grade school, and now my son has graduated from the New Haven area. I want to make a marketing welcome statement.
Good.
Go right ahead.
I want you to know, I want businesses and new residents to know that Fort New Haven is a welcoming city. It has three highways into Fort Wayne, if that's where you are going to work. It has a cross-section of religion. No matter what religion you have, we have the church. We have supportive organizations of the businesses that are growing there. The civic groups have been there for decades, and we are business, school. What I want to say to you is we are the big city on a small scale.
That's true, Susie. That's true.
I think you may have tagged a motto there, a slogan.
So if you want, I hope so. If you want the big city feel and the warmth and communication of a small town, come to New Haven.
Susie, thanks very much for your call. And before we let you go here, you've listed an awful lot of reasons why others should come to New Haven. You've obviously been there a long time yourself. What has kept you there and kept you invested in the community?
Well, do you really want me to say, when I moved to New Haven in seventh grade, I found that the school system was one grade above Fort Wayne.
Uh-huh.
So you like the school.
When my son started school, I brought him back to New Haven.
All right.
We did go into the parochial school systems, so something else that I hadn't mentioned. And don't please remember that the roads go both ways, over to Ohio, up to Michigan, goes south to wherever you want to go in southern Indiana or all the way to Florida. And also, we must say, Lincoln Highway, Route 66 goes right through New Haven.
That's right. Well, Susie, I you've got a bunch of smiling folks in the studio here. I think you've made quite a pitch.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to do so. I consider myself a small town girl with a big city attitude.
That's a good Susie.
Susie, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
And have a good day. And gentlemen, quite a pitch for New Haven.
Absolutely. There. You know, I think that's one of the things. I mean, when you have that experience living in a small community that lives next to a very large metropolitan area, we do. Vince mentioned it and Susie's mentioned it. We have all those things. It's that small town feel, the closeness you feel with your neighbors, with when any organization or church or just to be in the community alone. I mean, you know, during our annual festival, Canal Days in June, I've always told people it's like a homecoming situation. You get to see people maybe you haven't seen for quite a while, you know, and it's a fun thing. And there's lots more of activities going on too. I mean, every July there's a huge car show sponsored by the Treon Tavern. It's probably, what, 400 cars maybe?
They do a fantastic job putting that.
Yeah,
that
so a couple yep. thousand people that show up for that. I mean, if you're a car enthusiast, it's a cool thing besides Auburn. You know,
absolutely.
But it's fantastic. The second annual, and also sponsored by the Treon, the second annual this year was in August, Brewhaven. Mm-hmm. 52 craft beers that happen. We're not trying to be promotional for any one company, but that brought in 1,300 people to our community. Some for the very, very first time.
Wow.
There's a lot of cool things. I mean, there's a lot of things that help bring the business community together with everybody else. You know, they may not work in New Haven, they may work in Fort Wayne, Columbia City, Decatur, wherever it might be. But there's a lot of things. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce sponsors several things. Chamber's got a couple of really cool things coming up very, very soon in September.
Yeah, you had mentioned agriculture, and we're hosting our fourth annual Ag Appreciation Day at September 26th out at Jefferson Township Park. And it started. It just started as a session across the table, talking about some of our business communities that we haven't maybe served as well as we could as a chamber of commerce. Mm-hmm. And out of that, we are now on year four, and it's grown every year.
Wow. Well, and I do want to talk a little bit more about agriculture and its impact on the community in just a few minutes. We also have a number of email questions on Facebook we'll get to, but we do need to take a break for the news. About 20 minutes left in the program. We do want to hear from you if you have a question or comment for our panel today. The number is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Dan Deacon learned to compose music on a computer. Later in his career, a special project brought him into the studio with people, mixing electronic music with an orchestra.
I don't know, those experiences sort of like shook me and was like, you need to remember this. Get back to work. Computers aren't all there are, Dan.
Dan Deacon on making music less perfect and more human. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. Health officials say an Indianapolis area resident has died from West Nile virus, the second confirmed Indiana death this year from the mosquito-borne illness. The Marion County Public Health Department announced the death Monday. It says West Nile virus has been identified in mosquitoes in all 9 townships of the county surrounding Indianapolis. State health officials announced earlier this month an Evansville area resident had died from West Nile. Other human cases have been identified in Allen, Fulton, Hamilton, Hancock, Jackson, Monroe, and Tippecanoe counties. State health officials say West Nile transmission within the mosquito population is higher than in previous years, and that Indiana residents should take steps to protect themselves. Mosquitoes carrying the virus have been found in at least 67 Indiana counties so far this year. Former Indiana gubernatorial candidate Jim Wallace faces a felony domestic violence charge. WBOY's Katie Anderson has more.
Fishers police say Wallace was arrested Sunday night after allegedly grabbing his wife by the neck and throwing her against a wall at their home northeast of Indianapolis. She did not require medical attention. The Hamilton County Jail, where Wallace was incarcerated, says he appeared in court for an initial hearing on the charge Monday afternoon. A message seeking comment was left on his cell phone. The Indianapolis Star reports Wallace was arrested for intimidation during a dispute with an ex-wife in 2004. That charge was dismissed as part of a pretrial diversion program. Wallace dropped his bid for the Republican nomination for governor in March after being denied a spot on the ballot for not having enough signatures. For WBOY News, I'm Katie Anderson.
Purdue University plans to honor graduate Neil Armstrong's life and achievements as the first man to walk on the moon with a campus memorial service. WBOY's Sean Beter has the story.
Many people have left flowers and notes at the statue depicting Armstrong outside the Purdue Engineering Building named for him since he died Saturday at the age of 82. He graduated from Purdue in 1955 with an aeronautical engineering degree. Purdue Aerospace Engineering major Eugene O says he admires Armstrong for his dedication in helping to reach the moon. Purdue graduate Jason King says that he brought his young daughter to Armstrong's statue because she wants to travel to the moon someday. The campus memorial service is set for 5:30 p.m. outside the Neil A. Armstrong Hall of Engineering. For WBOY News, I'm Sean Beter.
A woman has pleaded guilty to trying to collect money from funds intended for victims of last year's deadly Indiana State Fair stage rigging collapse. Stephanie Murray was charged along with her aunt with submitting injury claims totaling more than $22,000 to a private relief fund and the state tort claim fund, even though authorities said neither one was at the show by country duo Sugarland. Murray pleaded guilty in a Marion County court to forgery and perjury charges. The plea agreement calls for her to be sentenced in October to 4 years of work release, a year of probation, and to perform 100 hours of community service. Charges are still pending against Murray's aunt. And now back to your host for Midday Matters, Sean Beter.
It's a quarter till 1 o'clock. You're tuned to Midday Matters Financial Focus right here on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns on this Tuesday. And we're talking the business of New Haven with Mayor Terry McDonald and Vince Buchanan from the New Haven Chamber of Commerce. Of course, we do want to hear from you today. The number 260-452-1185, or you can always call us toll free at 1-800-471-9264. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. And Susan, I believe we have a question from Facebook here.
We do. From Facebook, Michael says two things. Is there going to be an official dedication for the newly refurbished antique train depot? Folks have really done a beautiful job with the restoration. And number two, mention the giant new Flying J truck stop fuel center being built at I-69 and Highway 30. He says the city fought this for a time, but finally came in. This will be a huge boon to that busy intersection and at that end of town. Thanks.
Well, as we'll take the depot question first. It is finished. There still needs to be a walkthrough, a final inspection with the folks from NDOT, our Heritage Association, which we partnered with the city, and we need to do a final walkthrough, a few things that the contractor just needs to, you know, a touch up here and a touch up there. When the dedication will be, the grand reopening of it, if you will, I'm not exactly sure yet. The Heritage Association will be working on that, but there will definitely be something happening because it took a lot of time, it took a lot of effort, and many people have been anxiously awaiting that to be finished. So
I think it's looking good.
It does look good. There's still a few things we did have to make some some adjustments to the budget of the project to make sure when you're dealing with an old building, when you get inside of it.
Let me guess, it came in a little high.
Well, we kept it under budget because we removed some things like landscaping and things like that. But, you know, things like that still need to be done. But it's an exciting time. And now the Flying J question is I am really glad that they're at Doyle and Highway 30 on the east side of 469. I think their visibility, that's the best place for their visibility. It's up on a hill, easily seen. Going back to a transportation kind of theme just briefly, New Haven has a tremendous amount of investment by private business in the new trucking and repair services on that side of town, which will be very, very close to the new facility from Flying J. And it will provide a decent travel plaza for the trucking industry and for vacationers, people passing through town.
Yeah, that's a great addition to the community, and it's located exactly where it needed to be.
There you go.
How about that?
Thanks very much for your question, Michael. We'll get back to some Facebook questions, a few more, actually, Facebook comments here in just a few moments. Right now, we've got a caller on the line, and of course, if you want to join the conversation, that number, once again, 260-452-1185. We've got Alex on the line. Alex, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. Thanks for having me. My question is, New Haven has the River Greenway that runs right through, and it's amazing, but have you guys ever considered maybe doing bike lanes that go, like, from 4 U.S. 930 all the way downtown, maybe? I mean, for commuters and maybe people working from New Haven to Fort Wayne, instead of taking the actual trail.
Well, Alex, we have part of the difficulty is the city does not control any part of Highway 30 or 930. The four-lane segment, I'm sure you're aware, between the point where 24 and 30 split off, that four-lane section has a fantastically wide shoulder. I'm not sure if the state on the two-lane portion of 930 between Minnick Road and the point would be interested in doing that, but it's something we can check out, yes.
Yeah, it'd be great. I mean, I commute on bike, and I try to stay on the side of the road, but, I mean, those streets get really busy.
They really do. There's a lot of commuter traffic, over 30,000 vehicles that go through the intersection of Adams Center and 930 every day.
Right. So that was my question. I didn't know if you guys ever thought about it or anything, but I think there's a lot of people who commute by bike. It'd probably be good to open up the lines of transportation between Fort Wayne and New Haven.
Sure. We're doing everything we can to make those alternative forms of transportation besides the automobile, hopefully soon be working with public transportation as well to try to make some improvements to the line, especially with Maple Crest Road opening up.
Okay, right. That was my only question. Thank you.
All right, Alex, thanks very much for your call. We appreciate it. About 10 minutes left in the show here. If you want to join up, it's 1-800-471-9264, or you can always call our local line. It's 260-452-1185. And talking here about bringing people downtown, Jody on our Facebook page says you might want to mention the New Haven Farm Market in Schnelker Park Thursdays from 4 to 7, bringing families downtown and supporting local businesses.
Well, you know why? There's so it just seems like in the last few years, so many new things have blossomed, and the farmers market definitely. The Parks Department has done a fantastic job getting the farmers market up and running. There have been other efforts in the past, but it really took the Park Department to make it happen. In Schnelker Park, it's our Veterans Memorial Park. It's right at the end of Broadway Street. You just can't miss it if you're heading south on Broadway. It's fantastic. You can get everything there from the best garlic that I've had for a long time. Obviously now zucchinis and cucumbers and tomatoes and all kinds of things. And you can get some handcrafted soaps. You can get all kinds of things there too. And I can see that just getting bigger and better every year.
It seems like the more we talk to people on this program, and you see it all over the country, there seems to be a movement towards revitalizing downtowns, getting more people back into the community as opposed to, you know, staying out in the suburbs.
Downtown's
like
where
that.
It's at.
I'm curious. I mean, that seems like something you're seeing in New Haven, certainly.
Absolutely.
Is it the times that changing back toward the urban landscape, so to speak?
Boy, I sure hope so. I am not a real big advocate. I believe that growth should be small and incremental, well planned out. To continue to push the envelope of the city out, further and further for development. I like, there's got to be some of that. But I think infilling development is key. That's why I say and promote there's definitely room for growth in downtown New Haven with an empty lot or two, with a building that could be restored, removed, and then built up, something new. I think infield development is key to the future, because the further you push out your services for a municipality, the more expensive they become. We've seen that time and time again. Whether it's water and sewer, whether it's police, fire services, whatever it is, it costs more the further out you get.
Just a few minutes left here. If you'd like to get in the conversation, it's 260-452-1185. We did have one other comment from Jody. Jody also says the Moser Park Nature Center has great free nature education programming in addition to the wonderful park system in general.
Absolutely. Our park department has done a fantastic job educating our kids and our adults alike with all kinds of nature. There's a fantastic summer program they have over off of Mola Road, and it escapes my mind the name of the farm that they use. I'm so sorry. Dr. Whirling, if you're listening, I apologize.
Well, how about we transition to another event that might provide an opportunity for some folks to come to downtown New Haven? We also host an event that we call Sample New Haven. It's always over the past several years, it's been the Saturday after our New Haven homecoming. And the premise of the event, or the purpose of the event initially, was to celebrate the renovations that had taken place downtown not so many years ago. Family friendly from the get-go, whether it be face painters, balloons. We have anywhere from 10 to 15 local eating establishments that provide samples of a variety of foods at a nominal fee. Past year's $2 per person has allowed you to make 12 to 15 stops. No one leaves hungry. it is just really nice to see on a sunny Saturday afternoon, so I'm making a prediction.
Yes, I agree with you.
A sunny Saturday afternoon to have. I think we had about 600 folks downtown last Sample New Haven Day, and that was just over the course of 11 to 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And a great opportunity to come see the downtown merchants and also have an opportunity to taste some of the great food that's available.
It'll be a very busy week, because that's also Business Appreciation Week in New Haven.
Yes, it is, and that's the entire week.
That's right, the week of the 24th of September.
The 24th, and the Chamber Ambassadors have taken on the challenge of visiting a minimum of 200 of our local businesses, both chamber members and non-chamber members. We want to make sure that they can see in some palpable fashion our appreciation for their investment in our community, and also let them know that we're there to help them moving forward. But 200 businesses over the course of the week are going to be touched by chamber ambassadors, along with several Kiwanians that are
the members of the Kiwanis Club. Mm-hmm.
Yep, they're going to partner with us.
200 businesses, and Mayor, you said you have 15,000 residents.
Yeah, residents,
just a little bit under 15,000 residents now, and 200 businesses. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
And we can't. We've just got about 5 minutes left in the program, but we can't leave this conversation, of course, without talking about the importance of agriculture in New Haven and agribusiness. Could you, Mayor, just talk a little bit about how important that is to the community, and then we'll have a question to close out the program as well.
Agriculture was one of the main industries for New Haven, whether that was the stave factory that made the staves for the wooden barrels to cart grains and things off to market, the for the blacksmiths back in the decades past. But, you know, to today, Central States Green in New Haven has grown so much since I first came to town in 1979. It is just absolutely huge. It's one of the major players in the grain market in the Midwest. The railroad as well, too, the transportation of grain to the markets, to the ports. Our transportation industry is focused around that, too. The farming industry in Eastern Allen County is vitally important to the livelihood of everybody in Eastern Allen County. It's very, very important. And it also provides great learning opportunities for our local school kids. Mm-hmm. I have some friends from church, the Hadleys, who host, I think, like 3,000 little kids every fall for a day at the farm. So agriculture has been huge in our growth, in our development, and will be very big in our future as well, too.
We did have a question here from Michelle, and this is kind of talking a little bit about, I think, the tension sometimes between growth and development and farms and farmland. Michelle says, to me, the $64,000 question is not Walmart, but what New Haven is doing to preserve, support, and grow agribusiness in New Haven and East Allen County. I hear developments. I equate that with the reappropriation of farmland for constructing industrial parks that are viable for about a decade. Can you speak a little bit to that that tension and what New Haven is doing to, well, as she says, preserve, support, and grow agribusiness?
Sure. Well, I think one of the things that the farmers market does is promote locally produced food to be sold in the farmers market. Everybody there is from the surrounding area. I think also it's pretty important to remember too that the owner of the property owns the property. Mm-hmm. That person, whether that be an individual, a family corporation, or a trust, does not have to sell that property to a developer.
They are the decision
maker. They're the decision maker. When the property is sold to a developer, then that property is then developed by whatever industry does that. So I think it's important to remember that the government can't force somebody to sell their property to anyone. Okay, since I've been mayor since 2000, we've only had to use an eminent domain letter twice. One was for a small postage stamp of property to improve the Hartzell Road area near the railroad. And the second one is currently going on. I can't speak about it, but it's for a 0.33 acres of land to run a sewer pipe along a road. So that's not something that we do in our community. We recognize the importance of our farmers, and they do control their property, and nobody can force them to sell.
All right. Well, that's about all the time we have for the program today. But Susan, thank you very much for being here for another great show. Mayor Terry McDonald, thank you for being here. And Vince Buchanan, thank you for stopping by today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks very much to our listeners who called, commented on Facebook, sent us emails. We appreciate you tuning in today. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. We're coming up on 1 o'clock. Fresh air is next. Have a very good day, everybody.